just thinking on fever there. My head is spinning around and round. I can't seem to shake this feeling. Oh, my body is rocking and reeling. Oh, it's such a funny feeling.
You're listening to a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions contained within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to WRCT Pittsburgh, 5000 Phillips Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA, or call 621-0728.
Hi, welcome to Sex Talk. I'm the Unspeakable Pete.
I'm Lance.
I'm Luke.
And I am DJ2000. We have a very exciting show lined up for you tonight. This has been one of those weeks. In the undergrads have been going through finals and so on, and they've been going through very important changes in their lives. And we've all had our own life-altering experiences this week as well.
Can I just make a quick announcement?
Yes, certainly.
Some of you who might have attempted to tune into us last week will notice that we weren't there. We'd like to apologize for that. That's because of the weirdness that happens to the WRCT schedule when finals come and the schedule is weird. For those of you who'd like to give us a call, if you've got anything sex or love-related you'd like to talk about, feel free to call us at 268-WRCT or what's the other number, DJ?
621-WRCT.
That's 621-9728. We've got a fetish about giving out both numbers. I don't know why we always do that. It's just easier to say.
When you're very, very drunk, it's easier to dial the numbers.
Well, but there should be one number rather than two. And in fact, you could remember it as CMU-WRCT, for example. That would be entirely a mnemonic way of remembering it.
Does that work for 268? Wow. Enough phone talk. Back to the sex talk.
So please, actually, we should mention the website. This and every show will be available on our website at http://sextalk.wrct.com. So if you have a web browser and you're familiar with the internet, you can surf to us there.
Life-altering experiences.
Well, so I don't know about you guys, but have you ever had one of those moments where, you know, you're just kind of, you know, maybe you're not doing anything, maybe you're out in the park walking around, or maybe you're just sort of at the betting track or whatever, and you just have a moment to reflect, and then you realize you have some kind of some kind of emotional breakthrough where you just realize something, and in retrospect, it's totally obvious. It's like you have this breakthrough where you realize something about yourself, and thinking back, it totally makes sense, and it makes so much sense that you can't imagine why you didn't think about it before.
An epiphany,
exactly.
Hey, DJ 2000, are you going somewhere with this?
Well, I was indeed. I was at the dog track in Wheeling this past weekend, and Wheeling Downs, it's called, actually. And
how is it as far as dog tracks go?
It's actually pretty fabulous. They race greyhounds. I mean, I guess that's the standard.
If we find out that you're a zoophile, I'm leaving. Okay.
Well, it's actually, I feel sort of bad for these dogs whose job it is to just, like, race around the track all day. But,
do you feel there's not enough love in their lives?
Well, you can't.
Walk a chicken.
I mean, it's hard to say because, I mean, after these dogs, it does seem that after they retire, instead of destroying them or, like, turning them into glue or whatever, I think that people do adopt them and take them home. Greyhounds are very nice dogs.
The Simpsons dog is an ex-dog track.
Oh, really?
Greyhound. Yeah.
But, well, Simpsons is fiction, of course.
Yes, but it's fiction deeply rooted in truths about American society.
Okay, I know many people have adopted
greyhounds. Tell us more about this epiphany, please.
I know people have adopted greyhounds, it's true, but let's get back to the sex part.
So as I was looking around me and I saw all these, I saw these like really old couples, like these 85-year-old husband and wife couples that were like, hunched over like, a Jack Daniels and a cigarette, smoking, arguing with each other about, whether to like put all their money on like the trifecta or whatever, like there's all these like incredible.
The exacta, the trifecta, the daily double.
And you do all these really sophisticated, there's the whole betting world has its own terminology. And I realized, I want to be that way in 50 years. I want to be, when I'm, like, old and crotchety and I've, like, drunk away, my career and my savings, I want to be with my wife at the betting track.
So it was the togetherness, not the complicated betting schemes.
Well, there were, both.
Or the Jack Daniels.
But it was really even though these two were sort of bickering and so on, there under that all, there was a respect and a love that you can only get from years of heterosexual union, and that was the key.
Heterosexual union.
That was the key to me. That I don't believe that homosexuality is a viable lifestyle for me anymore. And once I said that to myself,
haven't you recanted your homosexuality on the show once before?
Well, I think that was it was sort of a cry for help. That was me. I had experimented with heterosexuality, and then I fell back into my old patterns. It's all too easy to do that.
The devil is very powerful and tempting.
I didn't really have the same clarity of purpose that I have now.
So, DJ 2000.
Yes.
What's the group of Christians that believe they can turn homosexuals onto the straight and narrow?
Well, it's that group is the entire group of Christians, I think.
No, there's a specific group of formerly homosexual Christians who converted over.
I don't know what they're called. I mean, I've heard of the term ex-gay ministries, but I don't really know.
So any representative of the ex-gay ministries, we'd be especially happy if you called.
Bags for Jesus, please give us a call.
That's country code 1, area code 412-268-WRCT.
Am I allowed to say that word? Or
Jesus?
No, thanks.
I don't know.
Is that a slur? I don't mean it to be a slur. I mean it to be.
Yeah, it's one of those words that the fag community has co-opted, and like queer, for example.
Right.
An insult that we've turned around and made.
Are there any they haven't co-opted?
A proud emblem. That's a good question.
Pederast, I think, is still kind of.
Butt pirate. I don't hear that used.
Carpet biter.
Pillow biter.
I mean, pillow biter is kind of lyrical. I actually wouldn't mind being sort of called. It sounds like the name of some elf in the Tolkien and Philip Reed or whatever. So
have you? Do you know what kind of characteristics you're looking for in a woman? Since you're talking about a heterosexual,
a life mate, if you will.
A life mate.
Well, I haven't gotten. So as you know, it's actually, and I've said this. I think this might my theories about relationships still apply. I think it's very dangerous to go around, if you don't have a partner, to go around with preconceived notions of what you want in another person.
Still, but things like ability to cook, good income.
Certainly very practical things like that. And, and women are inherently nurturing. And that's actually sort of the key thing that I had not experienced in my homosexual lifestyle, was someone who's actually, emotionally open and caring and not just in it for...
Perhaps you haven't been in enough bars, though. I mean, this brings up an interesting point. You've been involved in a monogamous relationship, which would be the envy of many heterosexual couples for what? Going on 2,000 gay years, I think, we established.
So five plus, standard Earth years. And the gay multipliers at least, 10.
But in any case, it's a record of commitment and mutual trust that would do any couple proud.
Well, that's true. And I think I actually, frankly, I think that's partially due to my contribution. It's what I wanted was a stable, committed relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I was willing to twist or to co-opt whatever relationship I was in to fit the model of what I wanted.
Are you really sure that this is a sexual issue? Because there are other alternatives. For example, you could have a sexless but committed relationship with a woman while lying to her about your secret homosexual desires, as many closeted men do. And, maybe that would work for you. You could be a mall daddy.
Well, that's actually extremely interesting. I hadn't considered. I was going toward the more sort of clarity and honesty angle, but I can see.
Why assume that that's the correct choice?
that's actually a very good point. I hadn't really considered that because, and we've talked about polyamory on the show before, and we're all very firm believers in that lifestyle. And so, maybe
we are.
maybe.
Well, I believe at least in the existence of the lifestyle.
Oh, yes. I believe in its existence, yes.
I believe that there are three people somewhere who... I'll keep my mouth shut.
So, I have considered that maybe what I really want to do is live with a man and a woman and get my kind of sexual outlet with them.
The old inverse threes company routine.
Right, except that, exactly.
You'd be Chrissy.
I don't know if they actually did it. I don't know if any of them actually ever had... It would be Chrissy and Jack that would have had sex, right?
Probably.
Janet was the sexless one.
Yes, that's right.
Was the good girl next door.
Janet
she was the Marianne.
I disagree. Janet was the brunette, and everyone knows that brunettes are not attractive, and that's TV. That's TV. TV semiotics. I think it's perfectly clear to me. So really, where are we going with this? What level? How do our listeners know, for example, that you're not just deceiving them? Because I haven't heard this before, and I frankly have at least half an inkling that you're deceiving me.
You obviously missed the press conference.
Yes, I did.
Well, it was a shock to the people at MSNBC too when I first revealed it. But having done so much for the gay community and
they never gave you back what you deserved. Those bastards.
Well, it's true. It's a thankless role that I play, but the. Having done so much for gay pride and gay visibility as I have, it was shocking to people. And I've, frankly, a lot of people that I thought were my friends, they've really kind of turned against me because they think I'm turning. I'm not turning against the orientation.
Right.
But the bottom line is, I think the homosexual lifestyle is a perfectly reasonable one, but it's really a lifestyle for the young. I don't think that anybody should really be gay over age 30.
Okay. For aesthetic reasons?
Well, yes. Because when you're young and your hormones are raging and you're really attractive and, you're in your prime, probably in your best physical shape, that's when you're going to be getting all the great sex, and that's when you're going to have, people coming after you, people finding you really attractive, and people, this is a well-known...
Maxim, that youth is attractive.
Right, and the woman in the gay community, it's well known that, once you reach a certain age, you become kind of a troll or a daddy or whatever, and you're basically not going to get sex unless you pay for it, right?
But your income level correspondingly increases with your age, conveniently.
If you're lucky, that's true. There are certainly lots of lower-income older men who are gay who, have had to either just resort to a heterosexual sham marriage or just being alone that they can't afford the alternatives.
Is this really what you think is in store for you if you hew to the straight and narrow, so to speak?
Well, I won't say that I'm switching orientations just because I'm afraid of being alone when I'm older, but it's an observation. I think you have to be realistic about your options. As I age, as I,
wither.
losing my kind of youthful
shrivel
vigor,
up like a prune.
You need to find a partner and
shrink.
And as we know, women are not as visually oriented as men. Women, indeed look to the inside person. That's their sort of biological imperative to nurture the the inner person, and they're less concerned with physical appearance. I mean, we've seen this all the time.
Our phone numbers here are 621-WRCT
and if our
268-9728.
If our producer would like to chime in.
Our producer is looking for headphones, and I believe.
Sorry. So DJ 2000, I must ask you, what does your current partner think of this epic shattering decision?
Well, I haven't really fully explained.
I think you just did
to him yet, because you know, I mean, he's a wonderful person.
So you're saying that he was not at the press conference?
No, and he's been sort of sheltered from this news so far.
And I mean, you guys don't get MSNBC on cable either, do you?
Is that a web thing or is that
no? It's a legitimate TV channel, although it has some vague, nebulous web connection that was hyped up mostly, I think, to increase stock prices.
Oh, okay. I actually am gonna have to try to break it to him. I don't know if I want to break it to him right away because
just give him a URL for the show, loveline.wrct.org.
I mean, the thing is, the sex has been really good, and I'm, it's gonna be hard to give that up, especially since I don't have a sort of female. So, you know, maybe I'm thinking of just sort of holding off on that announcement until I have...
Do you have much experience searching for female receptacles?
You said before that you don't have a very high sex drive. Well, I mean, does that help, this kind of decision?
Well, it's true. I don't think I have a typically male sex drive in the people... Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I'm thinking, in some sense, I'm thinking about sex all the time, but it's more like I'm whining about sex all the time. I don't, like, you know, this idea that men would are sort of always just ready to hump anything that moves. I've never felt quite like that.
That's true. We don't always need it to move. I mean, I think it's an unfair stereotype. I think our fabulous producer wants to get a word in edgewise here.
Well, first of all, can you hear me? Yes.
Yes.
Women can't really afford to be visually stimulated if you think about it. They've kind of been trained historically to not pay attention to those kind of qualities in men. And my other comment was I'm pretty sure they only make horses into glue. I don't think they make dogs. They just shove them in a corner somewhere.
Well, okay. The glue comment is probably a little bit glib. I guess it's the cartilage. They make other cartilage or something.
Horses.
Or their hooves.
Horses. Yeah, the hooves and bones. I know that's gelatin.
Are you saying they can't make glue out of dogs, or it's just not economically?
I just don't think it's economically feasible.
There are probably, for the same reason we don't have hot dogs made out of dogs, there are probably moral issues.
Ironically, although...
But, only a comment, but... I think actually it was also common in ancient Rome for men to pursue, wealthy men in particular, to pursue that type of lifestyle where they could, it was open, perfectly acceptable for young, wealthy men to pursue gay lifestyles in their early years, and then as they aged, pursue heterosexual family.
Because of an expected family responsibility?
I don't know.
To perpetuate the line.
I would probably disagree with that. Being homosexual, at least in the wealthy classes in Rome, which is who we care about for the most part, was considered extremely shameful, extremely degrading. It's
really
certain that many people did it, and it's certain that it went on all the time and in all places,
well,
but it was not something, for example, that you would admit publicly or talk about.
Well, certainly in Greek literature,
maybe that's what I'm thinking,
there are more references to eel-skinned boys than would certainly be comfortable.
Yes, well,
today.
The Greeks are clear, and Romans also had a different definition of gay. I mean, they had different words for whether you were giving or receiving fellatio, and there was clearly less honor, excuse the term, in one than in the other.
But I've read in some Greek texts that there is a conflict between the desire, a real love and a real sexual desire which is expressed towards other men, and the desire to build a family and pass on your line and those sorts of societal responsibilities.
And this relates to the Greek concept that women are incapable of real love, and I mean, because simply they are lesser beings, which is certainly a preconception that's been handed on down till at least today.
I'm surprised to hear you say that about Roman homosexuality, because my understanding was that the modern conception of homosexuality wasn't developed until the latter half of the 19th century.
All I can tell you is what I've read, and it may be that simply my sources aren't as good as our fabulous producers or yours, but certainly the things I've read imply that it was not a discussed lifestyle choice.
It may actually just as easily be the Greek culture that I'm thinking of. My ancient history is not exactly
buffed up. Well, back to DJ 2000, since he seems to be curious about what it's like to have a female receptacle.
Can we use a different word? That's just not, that's not nice. It's not sexy either.
Okay, since he's curious about what it's like to walk on the wild side with women.
Thank you.
Do you think you could set him up with somebody just so he could take a test drive, so to speak?
Are you asking me?
The rest of sort of, yeah. Like, what do you think about his potential?
Potential? He has plenty of potential.
Do you have, like, girlfriends who, you know, you get together and talk and you all complain about how you don't have boyfriends and you wish there were?
You know how I'm a scientist, I really don't interact with that many women.
I do, and yeah, I think we could probably set you up. And I'd like to say that DJ 2000 is very buff, right? I mean, he's got a good body. He's good looking.
He's obviously spoken. Witty.
Yes, he kind of has this sardonic expression on his face most of the time, but I'm sure we could change that into a docile, uxorious, husband-like, dull-witted smile.
I think that derives from a charming sort of self-loathing, which could easily be beaten out of him with a proper stimuli.
Yeah, that expression is actually bona fide pain. You know, it's not just sardonicness.
But our praise of our illustrious leader causes you pain?
Well, I was just thinking, actually, about the reality of interacting with a woman. I mean, it's actually making me a little bit nervous. The thing that's so annoying, I think, about heterosexual sex is that the man always has to be the top. Isn't that true?
That is not true at all.
No.
In fact, DJ 2000, I would venture a guess that with the right kind of woman, you could be just as passive and non-involved in really? Heterosexual sex as you claim to be.
Yes. Someday when you're grown up, we'll tell you about the cowgirl position.
Yeah, I also recommend that. Your viewing pleasure of the video, Bend Over Boyfriend.
Interesting. So this is the thing that's available at the Blowfish catalog.
Yeah. And in fact was a significant topic of the show mere weeks ago.
I'd like to know if there are women out there who would, in the abstract, we're not asking you to call in and promise yourself, but just kind of given this abstract situation, would you consider dating? Because you got to start with the dating, right? Dating such a man.
I guess. I mean, how many
fully aware that he may backslide and become a mall daddy after your kids.
But not intentional. I think we could say that DJ 2000 would be uncomfortable with that because he's already evinced his desire to be straightforward and honest.
Well, I would be. I'll put it this way. I don't think I would ever lie to my wife. If I were to be a mall daddy, I would have to be. I would be. You know, I would explain the situation.
Right.
But it's a slippery slope. It can start with a single. Offhand glance.
But I'm creating, we're taking this specific real situation and trying to create a hypothetical. And the hypothetical is, you know, women, would you consider this? 621-9728 or 268-9728.
The rest of the show will provide signed affidavits as to DJ 2000's dateworthiness if
we're not
required.
Certainly.
If required, if it's asked for. But I mean, I'm more interested in the hypothetical.
I agree.
Because frankly, I fear that when confronted with the reality of kind of a mound of pulsing womanhood, DJ 2000 might very well be afraid. Yes. I mean,
you might panic at the sight of the complexities of a female bra.
I don't know. Have you? DJ 2000, have you ever had sex with a woman?
No, I have not.
Have you come close?
No. Well, no. I had a passionless moment of petting with a woman once, and that was sort of as close.
It was like you were trying it just because you felt you should.
Well, right. I was.
How old were you? How'd that happen? I want to turn the detail knob way up on it.
See, you know, this is terrible. As you know, I started college late, and so I was a freshman in college, and I was 21. Because I was doing the missionary work before then. But so I was in college, and you know, I had these interior homosexual feelings for a long time, but I thought that, well, you know, maybe this is really just inexperience masquerading as homosexuality, and you know, if I meet a real woman, then you know, maybe the dating thing will happen. And not surprisingly, I had several fabulous female friends in college that I was really close to, and you know, when one of them expressed a romantic interest, I was all for it. I thought it just seemed like the natural progression of a relationship. But you know, then there came this time when she wanted to sort of like kiss and make out, and I tried, but it wasn't really happening. And I didn't know if I was just bad at it, never really having done it, but. I didn't really want. It's sort of like I didn't. It's like, you know, I was extremely self-conscious. I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, what possible benefit do human beings get out of this activity?
You're very analytical.
It's sort of pointless and stupid. It's sort of like dancing for the first time, or even now for the, you know, 100th time. It's like, you know, this could not be more pointless and more uncomfortable.
So this is the woman who turned you gay.
Well, you know. No.
Yes, I'm deliberately using the... I'm baiting you with that.
Passionless, by the way, was her word, not mine. But not to me. Since I was friends with all of her friends, it's sort of the rumor circulated back to me.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, it was a little cruel. But, you know, cruel but fair, I guess.
This is your opportunity to get back at her. I mean, if there's anything you'd like to say.
Well, let's not ignore her feelings, after all. She made out with him and then became gay.
But, yeah, it was actually a little bit annoying because it's every woman's, women are sort of egotistical about this. Like, if you're not really aroused by them, they assume that it's because you're gay. I mean, they can't. It's not because of some fault in them or because they're totally heinous. But in fact, it's because you're gay. Well, I mean, she was
and your authoritative knowledge of women comes from.
I'm a sociologist first.
So I understand
a lot about human psychology and behavior just in general. But I didn't even stop there. I had another sort of quasi-girlfriend after that. It's sort of the same sequence of events, same kind of painful. And I'm still, pretty close to both of these women to this day, and one of them is one of my best friends. But so it didn't destroy the relationship. And, once they understood that it wasn't nothing personal, it was actually, totally fine. They realized I was just sort of confused. But no, there was no kind of penile, there was no kind of genital rubbing or, I did maybe touch her breast or something. I don't remember.
That's still relatively low key.
Yeah.
Second base, right?
Yeah. So, the thing that you have to be sort of clear about it is it wasn't like I was, meanwhile.
Going off to the gay orgy after.
Right, or like blowing guys in the bathroom stalls or anything. I mean, I really was having no sexual contact at all.
When did that start?
Well, that started after I got the job at Cinnabon, and so it was just very convenient to go to the mall restroom nearby.
Please tell me you're kidding.
No, I've never worked at Cinnabon, although that has been a fantasy of mine, because then you get all sort of...
Including specifically working at Cinnabon?
Well, you get the malformed Cinnabons that you can take home and eat for free.
That's the fantasy?
And people, have you ever had a Cinnabon? I mean, it's...
We've got one.
They're the most... Fabulous! They're the most perfect cinnamon roll. I mean,
But I was hoping there would be like gooey Cinnabon frosting all over some young buck, like waiting for you to serve it. Something like that.
Yeah, I mean that is actually a pretty there is just a sort of lifeguard here at CMU that I wouldn't mind sort of rubbing, before I was heterosexual, rubbing the kind of exotic Macara cinnamon that they use at Caravan, and they use some imported vanilla stuff in their frosting too, and putting that all over his like tight little butt cheeks and then licking it off. I mean that would really be at one time that I would pay I'd pay like $100.
You would have paid $100.
Right.
That reminds me of a quick question. How long have you been heterosexual? DJ 2000.
Well, so when was the press? Conference Wednesday?
Thursday. 11 a.m.
So, what is that, 4 days, 5 days? 4 days? 5 days? 5.
Something like that.
But I've still been having homosexual sex in the meantime.
Well, that's just oil changes, I mean.
So now how much would you pay for
Well, I mean, so that's the thing that really bothers me. I mean, I don't know if this is just habit or what, but still, I still am powerfully aroused by the kind of perky teenage, Hollywood celebrities.
By teenage, I'd like to point out that DJ 2000 means 18.
18 plus, or in Germany, I mean 16. And, Sri Lanka, I mean 14. I mean, whatever the age of consent is.
DJ Arthur C. Clarke 2000.
In your local area, I mean, age of consent, or, legal age of whatever, plus, of course.
Lock up your sons.
Well, no longer. Now it's safe for your sons to roam the street at will.
Mr. and Mrs. Macchio, little Ralph can come over. I have no problem with I mean, that's the problem. I was watching tonight's episode, very gripping episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and it was the one with the Traveler, where Wesley turns out to be the Mozart of propulsion, whatever that means. Mm-hmm. And I was just really, Wesley was wearing his little jumpsuit, and it was just, the way it kind of fell over his perky little buttocks, it was still very arousing.
You just had a different idea of what the Mozart of propulsion would be propelling.
I was shocked. I mean, I was trying to, like, look at Beverly Crusher and Deanna Troi. And
bad example. We're going to win you over. That's not Beverly, what we're going to serve to you on the plate.
Well, so I mean, I don't understand. If those are not attractive women, Seven of Nine does nothing for me.
Okay, I have a question.
Science fiction.
Okay, Seven of Nine is legitimate temptation.
Really?
Really?
I just don't get Seven of Nine. I mean, she certainly has a very large breast.
Is there any woman that you found even remotely? Like, so
that's, I could look at, say, an Antonio Banderas.
Oh, yes.
And say, okay, you know what? If he came up to me and said, hey, why don't we go, you know, get naked in the next room? I'd say, okay, well, Antonio Banderas, I'll think about it. I mean, is there someone like that?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Ensign Rowe.
Good call.
Ensign Rowe.
Okay, can you give me a non-Star Trek
example? Her real name is Michelle Forbes. She's appeared in a number of movies.
She was on Homicide, Life on the Street.
Yeah, she played a coroner on Homicide.
Any Playboy appearances?
possibly. She was in Swimming with the Sharks. She's been in a number of movies. She was in California.
You'll send me some pictures later.
And also possibly Tasha Yar.
She's kind of hot. Tasha Yar.
She's a little more boyish, I guess.
That's Denise Crosby, for those of you who don't.
But maybe that's your path to straightness, would be to kind of ease into it by finding a fairly boyish woman.
Yeah, that those women have been described as boyish, with broad shoulders, small breasts, small, relatively slight hips.
Slim hip and weird. I need to, like, go back to the John Hughes movies and pick the girl that was, like, you know, remember, what was it? What am I thinking of?
One of the guys.
Pretty in Pink, or one of those where, like, the guy liked the so-called pretty girl, but it was actually the tomboy girl.
Some Kind of Wonderful, liked him. I think.
Oh, okay. And who was the non-pretty girl? I had really had a thing for the non-pretty girl.
She looked like Tasha Yar, now that you mention her. Kind of younger version.
I'll think of her name in a minute.
Okay. There's a movie called Just One of the Guys about a girl who joins the boys' football team and kind of does this whole male impersonation thing. I'm sure you think she was fabulous.
There's got to be some sort of 12-step program for this, with well-worked-out steps of female body types all the way over to full heterosexuality. So, if anyone happens to know of it, feel free to give us a call. We're at 621-WRCT.
So you're saying that by the end of this, I could actually find, you know, some total...
You'd be with Betty Grable or... Freak, yeah.
Like, well, I'm thinking more like, you know, Yasmin Bleeth or whatever, some Baywatch freak. I mean, these totally, like, super... busty women who do nothing for me on Baywatch. Are you saying that I could eventually work my way up?
Yes, we have the technology.
Does our fabulous producer have a... No, I think definitely, you know, easing your way into it is the way to go. It's much harder, I think, for heterosexual guys, because there is a severe shortage of gay men with breast implants.
True, but you can always go for sort of the more effeminate, a la Dave Foley, for example.
Yes, good example.
You're talking about straight men who want to go the other way?
Trying to break, like, ease in slowly to the lifestyle, to the whole look.
It seems like, I mean, the effeminate gay man thing is such a monstrosity. I mean, that's really not a very good impression.
But that's not what we're talking about.
I have a question.
We're talking about a bridge. So a man that's sort of close to feeling, to seeming like a woman sexually, and then into a regular man, right?
So someone who I know asked me the other week regarding gay men, kind of, you know, painting with the broad brush. And this is a serious question. I swear to God I'm not making this up. He said, tell me, why do they do that? And I said, do what? And he was referring to kind of the, what I think of as the queen, you know, the kind of mincing and talking with a lisp. And my response to him was, you know, well, I know plenty of gay men who don't do that. I know plenty of gay men who are, you know, completely, I mean, macho, for lack of a better word, but, you know, very masculine. You wouldn't think they were gay unless you knew. But at the same time, there is a kernel of truth in that stereotype. And there's, I also said that I know plenty of straight men who do that, who kind of mince in that way, typically there in the drama program. If they're trying to impress the gay tongue, I guess. But
the gay what?
The gay tongue. The gay Hollywood tongue.
Okay.
But there is a kernel.
It's a Chinese word for gang. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
There is a kernel of truth in that. I certainly know more than my share of gay men who do mince in that way. Can you explain that?
I thought it was tax deductions.
I can't explain it. And the short answer is I can't explain it. I mean, the first thing you should ask is whether it's more prevalent in the gay community than it is among the effeminate heterosexuals. And maybe it probably is. I don't know. is it some kind of, like, totally twisted social learned thing that when you hang out with people like that, you kind of pick up the mannerisms? And if so, like, who would want to be that way? I don't know.
I can offer my own guesses.
It doesn't do much for me, but I have enough self-loathing that it's probably, I think I would actually have a problem, as small-minded as this as it sounds, if I had like a boyfriend who was super flamey, I'm not sure I could. I'd be sort of embarrassed about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, as an ex-gay, you've been out of the community for a while now. I'm sorry.
Which gives you some
4 days.
I didn't mean to cut off.
Was it Mary Stuart Masterson?
Yes. Fabulous. Very, very nicely done. And you know, it's so ironic because, like, she was the truly cute one. I forget who the other babe was. Do you happen to remember who the other woman was?
Was it the woman from Leah Carolyn in the City, Leah Thompson?
Could be. Leah Sarah, maybe.
So MSM, as I refer to her, was actually really cuter. This is sort of the Hollywood thing, like the ugly girls. Anyway.
She was also June in Benny and June, I believe.
Yes.
So I can't tell you anything interesting about that because I just don't know.
So you're...
I'm willing to speculate that part of this is that you have sexual minorities all being tarred with the same brush, mm-hmm. so that particularly in a more oppressed culture, say the 50s, the people who had transvestite or transgender urges would get associated with gays and would tend to hang out with gays.
This is a true stereotype, all right? I mean, everyone in this room knows someone who is gay, or knows you probably multiple someones who is gay and who acts like that and who you are embarrassed about, frankly.
I'm not done yet.
Okay.
The other part is that because homosexuality gets associated with being less masculine, you see the two big stereotypes taking root and getting power. One being the feminine man, the mm-hmm. Nelly, which kind of buys into that homosexuality as less masculine and plays with it and takes power in it, particularly especially in the case of like drag queens. And then you also get the stereotype of the hyper-masculine, the motorcycle riding, right. Marlboro man.
Changed from his nipples to his penis. And yeah.
Leather chaps.
Yes.
Leather chaps. Okay, so I'm willing to buy that. That makes sense to me. I'm only interested in the surface explanation.
I have no data to get in the way of my opinionating.
That's tight. Oh, I'm sorry. So I took us on a diversion. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, it's right. I mean, I was actually at some point we might want to cover our voluminous viewer mail. I don't know if you want to do that now or later.
Well, we may have a call, actually, but we could cover our viewer mail now.
So actually, I want to mention that if you want to write into the program, and you can at any time, we have a mailbox here in the...
Can send your mail to WRCT Pittsburgh, 1 WRCT Plaza, 5000 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213.
Write Love Line on it somewhere so they know it's ours and not for the bagpipe show.
What, pray tell, should one do if one wishes to send an email to?
Excellent question, DJ High Tech.
Well, I wish we had an answer for that. We don't have our completely fabulous email box set up yet.
But we're working on one. So stay tuned, loyal listeners.
You can go to the website, which is at sextalk.wrct.com, or if you prefer, loveline.wrct.com, and from that web page you can find an email address, which would work.
Do we have a call?
Yeah, we do have a call.
Hello!
Hello.
Hello, I was just flipping through the stations and I noticed you were discussing homosexual sex, and I have a question, speaking as a homosexual.
Oh. I have to say, this voice sounds awfully familiar. Go ahead.
Well, my question is, I think I have what's called a prolapsed rectum. Now, I'm only 26 years old, and it seems a bit young for this, and I really don't know what alternatives I have regarding therapy or perhaps surgery. I wonder if either of you could shed any light
on
this.
Let me ask you the following question. Are you walking around?
Yeah, it's occasionally painful, though, and I do wear the donut when I sit.
Well, that's probably not a prolapsed rectum, actually, if you're walking around with it.
Really?
Yeah.
It does stick out, you know, the sphincter.
So how far, I mean, so your small intestine, your large intestine is basically hanging out of your sphincter by some large amount?
Well, just a tad bit, you know.
What are we talking, 6 inches?
Oh, I haven't, you know, my boyfriend's the one who's observed it, and I've never really looked at it through a mirror because I'm kind of frightened about it.
Well, so I'm wondering, what extreme sexual act did you engage in that caused this to happen? Do you know, or was it just...
Were there any fish hooks involved?
Unfortunate genetic accident?
No, I'm not into too many foreign objects.
Fisting?
I keep things pretty regular. On occasion, I'm with a sizable hombre, but...
I'm sorry, sizable hombre, did you say?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But for the most part, I'm fairly ordinary.
Well, allow me to ask you another question. How sure are you that this is not simply, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, if you'll excuse the expression, a hemorrhoid or perhaps an anal fissure,
or indeed just in your own internalized homophobia? Maybe you're not comfortable with your sexual orientation.
Maybe you're literally attempting to eject your feelings.
Well, it's possible that I'm a homosexual in the closet. I've thought about that a lot, and, you know, it's been a real problem. I don't know how I'd explain to my parents that I'm a heterosexual.
Okay, caller, before you say another word, we do have these rules about the 7 dirty words, and you just said one of them. Okay, caller, before you say another word, we do have these rules about the 7 dirty words, and you just said one of them. So please be careful.
Which word was that?
Well, I can't say it.
We obviously can't repeat it.
You're just going to have to guess. It started with bull, though, so.
Bet I can finish the word.
Yeah, so please don't.
Okay.
So continue.
Well, I'm very concerned about it because it is making my lovemaking rather painful.
Have you seen a doctor?
No, I haven't. You know, one tends to be rather ashamed about these things.
Well, I know you're shy, but I just want to interrupt you. I don't think we should be kind of considering the traditional Western a scientific approach to this problem. I mean, you know, I don't think the problem is really primarily medical. I think it's more psychological, and I think you really need to explore this idea. You're actually, as our co-host said, you're actually literally trying to eject your partner's penis from your rectum.
That's interesting.
And why is that? I mean, I think that, you know, have you maybe indeed, and I've certainly been there, let me tell you, maybe you indeed find the idea of homosexuality fundamentally inappropriate.
Do you have email access, caller?
Yes, I do.
One thing you might do that might help us diagnose this problem, if you have any friends with a quick cam or a digital camera.
Yeah, I could send you some photos.
Yeah, that would be actually very helpful, I think. And if you go to the sex talk
I tend to be afraid of the Internet, because last time I posted photos, they were everywhere.
Well, we can promise you confidentiality, and we certainly would not post them without your permission.
Well, that's what the last
people said. That is correct. I'd like to point out, there's a company that specializes in providing pants for those exactly your condition.
Know anything about replacement sphincters? Can I get a baboon transplant?
Well, the University of Pittsburgh is a world-renowned transplant center.
Yeah.
I just don't know much. They don't talk about sphincter transplants because I guess the funding kind of scarce for that sort of thing.
I'm a firm believer in Western medicine, and I'll give the boring answer. Mm-hmm. You should go to your doctor, and you should not be ashamed. And I think you should also consider that maybe this is, you know, simply a case of hemorrhoids or at worst, God forbid, an anal fissure.
Just
get
try to cram it all back in and see how it goes.
I want to be clear to our listeners out there that we are not medical professionals.
None of us
here.
Are doctors.
Yes, and what we say should not be interpreted as advice, but rather performance art.
All right, wonderful. I'm going to go see my doctor now.
Good luck.
I'll talk to you later.
Thank you so much for calling. Wow.
Time for some viewer mail.
Yeah, I'd like one of you. I have a stack of 3 letters here that we've picked from our large pile, and I'd like one of you to read one of them, and actually probably the top one. I insist you read the top one, actually, so stop doing that.
Dear Loveline, I'm a 19-year au pair from Sweden. Visiting
Au pair?
Au pair.
Oh, okay, like the nanny.
Visiting your country here in Pittsburgh. After putting the children to bed and tidying up the liquor cabinet, I often tune into your radio show. It reminds me of a similar show in Sweden called Snegghack, which roughly translated means sweet, sweet ass. Even though I have never met him, I find your host, the DJ 2000, to be very attractive and interesting. I have heard that Carnegie Mellon is very good in robotics, and I was wondering if DJ 2000 was a robot. No human being could be so mathematically perfectly sexy. I never thought I would fall in love with a robot. My mother thinks I am crazy and wants me to come back home. In the name of sweet old American relationships, tell me, what should I do? This message, alas, is not signed.
I think we'll let you answer that, the DJ 2000.
Well, I mean, this is actually so perfect because here I am looking for a nurturing female companion, and what could be more perfect than...
An undoubtedly busty 19-year-old Swedish au pair ripped straight out of a penthouse letter.
I just want to be clear. I hope it's not actually Louise Woodward, the nanny. She was English. The baby-killing nanny. She was English. Okay. Because, after all, I mean, she was convicted.
You might be able to take the shaking.
You might be able to like the shaking.
Well, you know, I guess so. But the idea is that she was convicted of murder of a child seems a little bit, I don't know.
Manslaughter.
Well,
whatever.
Kid's dead.
You're a lawyer, Peter. Is there not some actual principle distinction between manslaughter and murder?
She's guilty of sin. So do we get to read the other ones?
Certainly. I mean, I should respond. I mean,
I don't think you're a robot.
No, indeed, I am actually completely. I mean, you know.
But we could be robots as well.
In emotional affect, I sometimes feel that I lack some kind of the more common human instincts. But you know. And as a scientist, I've had to, of course, suppress my baser human urges because for the quest of ultimate rationality. But, you know, no, I'm not a robot. And, yes, I'd be very interested in meeting this au pair. I've nothing else to say on that particular point.
Yeah, write in again and sign it and, set up a meeting. I want to get you, auctioned off like seven brides for seven brothers. We're gonna find
Iowa beef.
See, that's just the thing. You say seven brides for seven brothers, and I'm already thinking about the brothers, right? I'm like,
perhaps going cold turkey is the key.
Spending a day baling hay with the brothers, you know, and then we're all knocking out some brews, and then you know, they get lonely, and you know, like one of them has some kind of tragio pouty little. you know, he's sad, and he's getting all doe eyed, and he's like, well, you know. My girl left me to go off with what's some kind of 18th century job?
Chimney
barrister.
Barrister, yes. And, you know, he's sad now, and he thinks nobody understands him, and so, you know, we spend the night in the barn.
Rolling
everywhere. I just can't get out of the homosexual paradigm. But anyway.
All right, so let's see. We have another letter here. And also, if... just go through the numbers one more time, 268-9728 or 621-9728. Dear Sex Talk, my mom tells me not to listen to your show because it's dirty, but I listen to it anyway, because you are the only ones telling it like it really is. I want you to know that I really appreciate your openness and your honesty, and you are not afraid to be yourselves. It helps me to be who I am in my high school and not be afraid to express myself and say no to drugs. Thank you. That's beautiful.
Was that a greeting card or was it an actual letter?
That was an actual letter. It was beautiful.
I think the sentiment there, I think, is very important.
And
if
that listener's listening, I'd like to remind them that, you know, just as we told the previous caller, you know, send us pictures. Absolutely.
We will not. I mean, can we distribute them on the net?
We would ask for permission We would ask for permission.
Pictures of our loyal viewers, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think.
And surprisingly, you know, I would actually really enjoy receiving naked pictures of our listeners. It would really be very arousing for me.
I would like to add that if you are not 18,
do not.
There's no need for you to send us nude pictures.
So legal pictures, you have to be 18 and above, of course. But you know, as a consenting adult, I would certainly appreciate whatever pictures you have to send. So
yeah, great. We're glad to be here for you.
Glad to touch your life.
That's what we're all about, really, caring for other human beings. Should I read the last letter?
Yes, please.
Dear Loveline, initially I was shocked by DJ 2000's announcement that he has renounced his homosexuality, but after I thought about it for a while, it began to make more and more sense. I realized that I am in the same position. I now realize that the gay lifestyle is not appropriate for me. Here's my problem. The problem is that heterosexual sex is so much harder to come by. At the large Midwestern university that I attend, gay sex and gay sexual tension is everywhere. It's so much more difficult in the straight world. When I was horny, all I had to do was go to the right party and turn my gaydar on stun. Getting women to open their legs like trying to crack walnuts with my teeth. I used to spend hours in the shower at the gym checking out all the hot swimmer dudes with their smooth bodies. But there's no similar opportunity to check out women's bodies without being arrested. I'm thinking of reverting to my gay lifestyle just because it's so much easier to get laid. Tell me, am I selling myself short?
Wow, you know, there's so much there. Yeah. I don't know what to get. Can you
so
comment?
Poignant.
Yeah, first of all, I think that this this listener really needs to be masturbating a whole lot more. I think it's actually a core component of the straight heterosexual experiences. You should be
testify,
masturbating
brother.
2-3 times a day. Basically, any time you even have the slightest hint of an erection.
And the slightest hint of privacy.
And yes, thank you. You know, I was going to continue. Ensconce yourself in some private place and just wail on that thing. Just do it. That is how we survive day to day. It's certainly how. But, you know, I have no argument with your observations. Yeah, it's harder to come by, but isn't it also much more hard won, really?
It's also a question of where you're looking. For example, I spent this last weekend at a science fiction convention, and though I wasn't particularly seeking heterosexual sex myself, it was pretty clear that there was plenty to be had.
Yes.
You know, I'd like to bring this all back to Machiavelli's The Prince. He makes a point there.
Sorry, go ahead.
He makes a point, in a different context, granted, discussing the difficulty in taking over, seizing political power. But he says, that which is easily won is easily lost. That which costs dear to attain.
And isn't that what we began talking about today? Right? Gay sex, easily won, but this lack of long-lasting relationships.
Well, we have to take the DJ 2000's word for it. For all we know, gay life could be a paradise of virtual contentment.
Well, that's a difficult question to answer. I mean, I think it depends on what your standards are. I mean, for many people, the gay lifestyle is enough because their ambitions aren't as high as some other people. You know, in the same way that some people are content, you know, not trying to get a really high-paying job or not trying to get a really...
But DJ 2000, the image that sparked off this change in you was that of old, withered couples drinking brandy and arguing about trifectas. JD. I apologize. Is that really so high in ambition?
Well, but I think you're sort of overgeneralizing what they've actually achieved. What they've achieved is a lifetime of togetherness and
drinking brandy, Jack Daniels, and discussing trifectas.
Well, but I mean, the idea that they could be like 70 years old and still betting on dogs and smoking with each other.
True. Many would view that as the very embodiment of American middle class mediocrity.
But you come from kind of an ivory tower background. I mean, I think that, and so it's natural to sort of look down.
I come from what sort of background?
An ivory tower background, you know, being a university scientist, as you are. And, you know, what you call middle class mediocrity is, in fact, you know, kind of a middle-class paradise, right? I
mean, so you're saying it's the jealousy of the intelligentsia we're seeing.
Well, right. I mean, you know, it's not the, you know, it's not middle America who's, like, sucking down all the Prozac middle America is getting the job done for America. They're not having all these crises and, like, they're not whining about, like, you know, they're not worried about how important their life is or whether they're going to make more in society.
On the contrast, my grandparents live in a trailer park and my mother's a grocery checker. Middle America is full of crises. Middle America is full of angst and full of Prozac.
We are drifting away from sex here and I'm losing interest. My advice to this listener is just to appreciate heterosexual sex as the process. And that frustration, when tempered with, as I observed before, frequent and completely abusive masturbation will serve you well, I think.
And to elaborate on the masturbation point, I mean, I think we've actually had shows about this. I think you can actually have, if you put effort into your masturbation, you can make it extremely satisfying. And
what kind of effort? Mental effort or actual physical effort?
Well, we've one of our more extreme guests actually set up little dates with himself where he would take a shower, you know, put on some nice clothes, give himself a nice dinner, and have a whole sort of date with himself, you know, really treat himself nicely.
That's a beautiful idea.
And then, I recommend the book, The Joy of Solo Sex. people wishing to explore these possibilities.
Well, and I believe this is either National Masturbation Month, or we had recently had National Masturbation
last
Day.
Last Friday was last National Masturbation Day.
Yes.
You know, I think I forgot.
Well, I forgot that it was actually National Masturbation Day, but it didn't really matter.
Every day is National Masturbation
Day. I confuse it with National Gas Out Day.
I actually have a news story here about National Masturbation Day.
Oh, I think in our final 2 minutes, you should proceed with that news story.
Well, this is a story that comes out of the renowned San Francisco store, Good Vibrations.
Fabulous story.
Sex shop, others mark National Masturbation Day. Dateline San Francisco. San Franciscans held a party Friday, this past Friday, to destigmatize and celebrate the under-recognized activity of self-love. The occasion being marked at a local sex shop was National Masturbation Day, and the San Francisco sex campaigners who organized the erotic festival and Masturbate-a-thon said it was part of a drive to liberate people's sexuality. Quote, "We wanted a fun way to bring masturbation out of the closet and affirm that masturbation is a healthy, positive part of your sexuality," said Laura White, spokeswoman for Good Vibrations, a woman-owned San Francisco sex shop and mail-order business. According to the 22-year-old store, participants in the Masturbate-a-thon have asked sponsors to donate money for each minute that they masturbate during the day in support of 4 AIDS and HIV organizations in San Francisco, Seattle, New York, and New Orleans. Fundraisers will receive bumper stickers saying, "I came for a cause," in return for their efforts, with the honor system applying to the length of time they actually spent.
How many dollars per minute was that? Did I miss that?
You had people pledge.
Yeah, people pledge. I would take issue that time spent is the appropriate measure.
Right. Intensity of orgasm or something.
Or perhaps quantity of discharge.
Well, this is woman-centric. I don't know how much discharge.
Oh, good point. I had forgotten that completely.
If you wanted to make it actually a challenge, you should have National Non-Masturbation Day. See how many days you can go without masturbation. Sort of like the classic
Great American Wank Out.
Really, and just, you know, see, actually that would probably cause, that would probably be worse than Y2K in terms of the number of disasters it would cause, but it would it'd be interesting to see, you know, how long people could hold out.
Well, it's the honor system, of course, so no one would ever know for sure.
Well, I mean, you could.
I mean, millions of 16-year-old boys have never masturbated on the honor system.
I'm certainly capable of refraining from masturbation for at least half an hour at a time.
True, but you, unlike some people here, have an outlet for your attention.
Plus, you possess a Promethean amount of self-control. Are we, wow.
We're out of time.
It's WRCT Pittsburgh.
88.3 FM.
I wanted to do the station.
You could do another one.
You just did. Oh, would you like to do another one?
Well, it's too late.
No, I'm not sure.
I didn't realize I was stealing the moment
as well.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. Thank you all for listening. Please tune in again next week, Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
We will be here on our regular schedule during the summer.
Thanks for listening.
Good night.